Many times, some people tend to think that the Immaculate Conception is a newfangled modern kind of feast, partially because in the 19th century, there was such an intensification of devotion to Our Lady under the title of the Immaculata. And of course, also because in December of 1854, Pope Pius IX declared that the dogma of the Immaculate Conception is something that belongs to the deposit of faith. It's something that has come down to us from the apostles. But in reality, it's not a modern thing at all, even if the church didn't feel the need to get around to defining it definitively until the 19th century. It is, in fact, not only present in germ throughout the scriptures in so many different ways, but also in the fathers of the church. And so I would like to share with you today from a sermon on the Blessed Virgin by St. Jerome, who, of course, was the translator of the scriptures into Latin and one of the great fathers of the church. Now, he actually preached the sermon on the Feast of the Assumption, but is entirely relevant to the mystery that we celebrate today. Who and what was the blessed and glorious Mary, always a virgin, has been revealed by God in the message of an angel in these words, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." It was fitting that a fullness of grace should be poured into that virgin who gave glory to the heavens and the Lord of the earth, who has brought peace to the earth and given faith to the Gentiles, who has killed sin, who has given law to life, who has made the crooked ways straight. Truly, she is full of grace. For to others, grace comes measure by measure, whereas in Mary, grace dwells at once in all fullness. Truly, she is full of grace. We believe that the holy fathers and the prophets had grace, but they were not full of grace. But into Mary came a fullness of all the grace which is in Christ, although in a different manner. Therefore, it is said, "Blessed art thou among women." That is, blessed art thou above all women. And thus the fullness of blessing in Mary took away entirely whatever curse was put upon Eve. In her praise, Solomon writes in the Canticle of Canticles, "Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come. For see, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone." And again, "Come from Lebanon, come, you shall be crowned." Not unfittingly, therefore, is she bidden to come from Lebanon, for Lebanon means a radiant whiteness. For she was dazzlingly white with her many virtues and merits, and by the gifts of the Holy Ghost was cleansed whiter than snow, showing in all things the simplicity of a dove. For all in her was purity and simplicity, truth and grace, all mercy and justice, which has looked down from heaven. And for this reason, she was immaculate, because corruption was not found in her. She encompassed a man in her womb, as holy Jeremiah testifies, and she received him from no other person. The Lord, he says, has made a new thing upon the earth, and a woman shall encompass a man. Truly, a new thing, and a novelty of power preeminent above all newness, in that God, whom the world cannot bear, nor man see and live, entered her womb as if unaware of her virginity, was so born therein that the whole God was in her, and so came forth that, as Ezekiel prophesies, the door remained shut. So the same canticle sings of her, "A garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, your plants are a paradise." Truly, a garden of delights in which were all manner of flowers and the perfume of virtues, so enclosed that neither violation nor corruption by any deceit were known. therefore a fountain sealed with the seal of the whole Trinity. Those words of St. Jerome's homily on the Assumption, which give us such an insight into her Immaculate Conception, I think are very poignant for many reasons at all times, but particularly in an age in which the last few days we have seen the restoration of the one of the most incredible buildings that Christian civilization has ever produced. You know, I was in Charleston about to go to the Chrism Mass when I was scrolling, doom scrolling, as you know, all of us are wont to do at some point or another, and when I started seeing these pictures of Notre Dame in Paris, and I couldn't wrap my mind around what it was that I was seeing. I had lived in Paris as a student and used to go to Vespers there all the time and very frequently spent, you know, so many happy moments of quiet in that incredible building that was built solely for the glory of God through the Blessed Mother. And to see it on fire was one of the most destructive moments of my life, right? I thought, how is it possible that something like this could happen? And it seemed like it was almost a symbol of, you know, the collapse of Western civilization, right? You know, not to make it too dramatic, but there was something horrifying about such a sign of Catholic culture just almost disappearing before the eyes of everyone. And it was amazing to see how many acts of heroism came about at that very moment, right? That incredible priest who is one of the canons of the cathedral who ran in to that burning building to save not only our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, but the most precious relics of Christendom, like the crown of thorns. And that from all over Paris and all over the world, almost from one minute to the next, everyone rushed to Notre Dame, right? Everyone who could ran as fast as they could. Catholics, Christians of other denominations, Muslims, people of no religion at all, art lovers, lovers of humanity and civilization, they all ran to that place. But yet, in many ways, what seemed to be destruction was actually the possibility for something incredible, right? And so here we are, just a few years later, after a tremendous amount of labor and work, and one of the greatest testaments that Christian art and architecture has given to the Mother of God has risen like a phoenix from the ashes and given so much hope to people of faith and no faith alike. That is the power of the fact that a woman said yes to the plan of God for the salvation of the world. And so I think that as we look at our culture around us, which seems like it is burning and being destroyed, right? Then it's not time to fear. It's not time to get sad and depressed or angry. It's a time to get back to work, right? Knowing that the Lord is going to do amazing things, right? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I want to wake up in the middle of the morning and Prince of Peace is burning to the ground by any stretch of the imagination. I would not deal well with that. But we have to roll up our sleeves and get to work, right? Enough of half-baked cultural Catholicism that is not based in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Enough of laziness, right? Let us truly live our faith and rebuild that Catholic culture, right? And that Catholic culture comes from the heart of a mother. So tonight, as we celebrate this Feast of the Immaculate Conception, so excited that this incredible building has come alive again, right? Through the work of human hands and the grace of the Holy Spirit, let us realize that we can do amazing and beautiful things like that even here as well. Happy feast day.